Hey, folks, are we ready to record episode one?
No.
I'm ready. I just want to say that you're going to start off. I know that you're going to start off with a very, like, pretty, like, serious, like, GM talking, and it's going to immediately make me want to say something unserious, and I'm going to try to control myself, but I just wanted to apologize in advance for my behavior.
I appreciate me that too. Apology. It's also a comedy podcast, so...
That's true. Okay. Never mind. I take back my apology.
Hello, folks and friends, and welcome to Tales from Grevlon. I'm your talekeeper, Thomas Plantz. I'm joined by Talia Shatsky.
Ashalinia Mira Ginglepossum, 2 G's, 2 P's, 2 S's, 2 M's, better known as Ash by everyone she meets, is an average-sized purple fairy the size of an average-sized purple spoon, but fills any room she enters. She wears a plum pinstriped suit with silver lining, and yes, she takes that to heart. She's the eldest of 15 children, and after years of helping to raise her siblings, she decided to pursue her real talent, helping others pursue their real talents. Now she travels the land with her compatriots looking for the next big star.
Yay! Yay!
Katie Siegel.
Lenroll Arison Avenant Ilmadia Lindenbar is a wood elf from the Towering Forest. He has beige skin, pointed ears, brown eyes, and medium-length brown hair. He has a glowing tattoo on his left arm that says Persevere in Draconic, which has always said Persevere and has definitely never said anything else. Lenroll is a handy person and travels around Grevlon helping fix stuff for people. Honestly, he's just a guy, just a dude.
Woo!
Thank you.
And Sam Katsial.
Patarak is a bipedal gray elephant who's wearing a purple shirt with a green cloak and black pants. He travels with a brown satchel, which carry his archartography tools and maps. He has recently joined the Apprentice Guild and works for his former archartography professor, Subi. He grew up in the marshlands and worked as a hydro wrangler for some time before deciding to pursue other crafts.
Yay! Woo!
Today we'll be playing a little game that we're calling Adventures in Grevlon, which is powered by Cortex Prime. We'll explain the mechanics of the game as we need to, though you can check out How to Play Adventures in Grevlon, an episode we're releasing alongside this one. That episode is totally optional, and you'll be able to follow the story without it.
Yeah, the title has a secret parenthesis that says, you do not have to listen to this. And then another parenthesis that says, unless you want to.
There's going to be a lot of parentheses. Maybe too many, but I think that's okay, right? Welcome to Grevlon, a familiar land, perhaps to many listeners. It is a cloudy morning as the sun rises over the horizon. The greens, blues, and purples of a typical Eastern Grevlonian sunrise greet the eyes of everyone of the town of Ido Arak, a town along the southern reaches of the Nawairi Delta, a series of rivulets downstream of Cordal. This sunrise greets the eyes of Lenroll Lindenbar. Perhaps distressingly, given that he went to sleep in a tent. Lenroll, as you wake up expecting to be greeted by the safety of the roof of a tent, you are instead greeted by an empty clearing.
Yeah, I definitely woke up expecting this light to be a lot more diluted. This is concerning. I think I like sit up for a moment. I try to remember if there was like, because sometimes I feel like I have like, I am struck by the mood of, you know, I want to sleep under the stars tonight. And I try to remember, because I don't remember doing that last night. But yeah, then I look around and see absolutely nothing and realize, oh no, I'm in trouble. Also, all my stuff is gone.
All of your stuff is gone, except for the backpack that you were using as a pillow, which has, you know, a couple changes of clothing, some, like, necessary essentials. But your toolbox is also missing.
Oh, my bread and butter. My bread and butter is also missing. I had breakfast planned.
I meal prepped last night.
Bread and butter.
You look around you, and this wasn't like a tent that you just like had over you. The tent was also under you, and it seems like they cut the bottom of the tent while you were sleeping so that they could carry it away.
It's not really a great tent with a hole in the bottom, but I guess you take what you can get, and they took everything.
Including, you now realize, your main means of defense the past few months, which has been a wrench that can turn into a sword.
Oh, not my wrench sword. Honestly, with that one, I'm kind of like, maybe this is the universe telling me that I don't need a sword. Because I truly, as cool as it was to get a wrench sword, never used the sword.
Yeah.
Except, like sometimes when no one was watching, I would, like, swing it around and practice. Didn't really need that. Do need the wrench as well as all my other tools. So this is upsetting.
Yeah, it's a bad spot.
It's a bad spot. I guess I take inventory of what I have left. Who were these people I was traveling with? Did I know them?
You met them in town. There were a couple
of other friends of friends people.
Yeah, friends of friends of friends, like people who like gonna be traveling, and you were like, well, a group's probably gonna be better than just traveling solo.
That's too many degrees of separation. I should have known better. When you get to friends of friends of friends, you can't trust those people.
So true. And yeah, you take inventory. There are like the like more precious items you brought along with you from your family and whatnot in your backpack. So you're good there, as well as a hammer that you've always like kind of kept at the bottom of your bag. Not really used it a lot. You remember this being maybe a bit of a gag gift, though you can't quite remember where you got it, but you got it as a gift from somewhere. It's a hammer that like extends really, really long, basically into a staff, with the idea of like being able to swing it really far, if you're like down on the ground.
Yeah, but then it does look a little silly because when it extends into a staff, it still has a very tiny hammer head at the top.
Exactly.
At the time, I had my wrench sword, so I was like, I don't need this. But now the hammer staff is looking pretty good. So I'll pull that out, extend that. And I think that I'm just going to, you know, all you can do is keep moving forward. You know, I'll pack up my stuff and go try to get more stuff.
Yeah, you pack up your stuff. As you like extend out this staff, you see a little bird comes and lands on the like the hammerhead of the staff.
Oh, hey there. This didn't happen with the wrench sword. Actually, it did happen once with the wrench sword, and it was not pretty. So this is actually definitely a benefit of the hammer staff, that it's a nice place for birds. I'm glad this bird feels safe.
The bird looks at you, kind of cocks its head. Wow, that kind of sucked for you, didn't it?
Yeah. How used to talking birds is Lenril?
Lenril is like tangentially used to it. You know, in the Towering Forest, there's all sorts of folks and creatures that can speak in languages when others of their kind can't. So, you know, it's not super unfamiliar, but definitely not expected maybe this far south, actually.
Sure. I think that he does for a moment wonder if he is in a nightmare, not because of the bird, but just because of, you know, waking up without a tent. And maybe this is just another aspect of it. Tries to subtly pinch his arm because he doesn't want the bird to know that he doesn't think it's real. Feels that. Ow. Turns back to the bird. Good morning. Yeah, this is not ideal. Did you see them take my stuff? You just let them? Were you a bystander to this terrible, terrible deed?
Kind of. I mean, not much I could do. Sorry. I'm just a little guy.
You know, the bravest. I'm not going to get into it. Do you know where I can get some? do you know where someone could acquire some tools around here?
Yeah, there's a town kind of upriver. You could probably go there for some tools.
Cool. I'm going to head there then. Did you need a ride or?
Actually, that'd be pretty sick.
Cool. You could just stay up there then and let's go.
And you head along the edge of the river, making your way upstream. We cut to a little bit earlier where
the bird was being... Can we see the scene where the bird was just sitting there watching all of my stuff get stolen and did nothing?
Oh, yeah. yeah, I mean, it's a pretty long scene. They, like, spent, like, a solid, like, maybe 45 minutes, like, cutting the tent but without waking you up. The bird's just, like, kind of sitting there, like, it, like, goes to, like, maybe chirp a little bit, but then sees, as, like, the tent is, like, pulled up, sees Leonard, like, sleeping very peacefully and is, like, no, there's nothing he can do about this. I'll let him sleep.
At least I got a full 9 hours. I guess I got to look on the bright side.
So true.
The bird granted me that.
But we'll cut to a little bit earlier. That same sunrise greets the eyes of Patarak, who had to wake up very early for his meeting with his boss, Subi. What kind of folk is Subi?
Subi is a sort of large cat folk. She is about 6 feet, like 2 inches tall. Very, very like tall and lanky.
You see her waiting, arms crossed, in the room that she's like saved for you two to meet in. As you like finally rush in. Ah, I see that you are 20 seconds late, Patarak.
I'm sorry, ma'am. There was a turtle crossing on the road, and I had to pause. You can't walk over the turtles. That you get ticketed for that, and the whole thing. And I would have been like 10 minutes late if I'd gotten stopped. I'm sorry.
As you know, I'm here to check on your mapping progress to make sure that you are on schedule. Would you mind pulling out your materials?
Of course. Patarak reaches into his brown satchel, pulls out his various maps with his tools and starts like opening them up, spreading them out on a table. Go ahead, take a look.
Yeah, she rolls open the maps, traces her finger, her claw along the like route that you've kind of like traveled and like what you've mapped.
It appears that you are 2 months behind schedule, Patarak. You were meant to be upstream a little bit earlier.
Yeah, the caravan I've been moving with, they stop for lunch and dinner and mid-afternoon tea and early afternoon tea. They move at a... We make up maybe 5 miles a day. So I've been trying to go faster, but I can't wander alone. I'm not safe out there alone.
This is unfortunate, Patarak. I expected better of you, honestly.
I'm so sorry, ma'am.
Apologies can only get you so far, Patarak. What will I tell the guild?
No, give me another chance. I promise. I'll start moving faster. I'll go on my own. I'll find someone else. I'll make it work.
Perhaps if you were to cover the rest of your route in the next 6 months, we can call it even.
Does Patarak know how long the rest of his route would take him if he went alone?
If you went alone, 8 or 9 months.
I think Patarak is nervously sweating a little bit and goes, okay, deal. I don't want to upset the guild. I don't want to lose this job. So deal.
Okay. If you don't mind, I need to make a quick call to some colleagues of mine back at Wessels.
Okay. Can I ask about what?
Business.
Sure. Should I stay? Should I go?
Yes, we will resume. We can make specific plans as you finish up here.
Okay.
You see that she steps out of the room, and it sounds like she just stepped out of the room, and you can actually hear her calling someone on her speaking plant.
Mm-hmm. I think Patarak like moves a little closer to the door and like listens in, even though he's absolutely not supposed to.
His giant elephant ear flattened against the door.
Yeah, exactly.
And you see her, or you hear her say,
"Yes, I am with him now. The poor little fool, he thinks he can become an art cartographer with this kind of work ethic. It is honestly disappointing. I do not know why you have forced me to be his supervisor. No, I understand. Yes, I will make sure that he gets this done. Ugh, even longer with him. He better pick up the pace.
Does Paderek know who she would be talking to?
Yeah, she would be talking to the head of art cartography at Wessel's Trade School, probably Orleana DeVoe.
Gotcha. Okay. Yeah, so he like makes a mental note of that and to thank Dean DeVoe, then goes back and pretends like he wasn't listening and starts looking over the maps again.
You see about a minute later, Subi walks back in and says, okay, now let us get down to brass tacks, shall we?
Yes, of course.
And we'll cut to earlier once again. As Ashalinia Mara Gingle Possum, you are awoken in the cabin of the caravan cart that you've been traveling in by the light streaming in through the window and by the sound of your speaking plant seeming to be receiving some sort of call for you.
Oh, well, I mean, if you're not going to start the morning off with work, then why wake up at all? Is what I've always said.
Horribly unhealthy.
Awful. So bad.
Yeah. Bright-eyed and bushy-tailed, having maybe a couple of slow weeks of trying to find potential clients. Ash, you pick up the speaking plant. And
it does take me two hands just to hold it up to my hair or to my head.
It takes you two hands, and you hear,
hello there. Is this Miss Gingle Possum?
Two G's, two P's, two S's, two M's. That's Ash for short. How can I help you?
Yes, hello. This is Kylo Fuhibe Jafingli of the Entertainment Workers Union.
Ew! How are you today?
You need to clarify. You need to clarify.
You asked. That was. Oh my god.
This is an employee of the Entertainment Workers Union, or EW. You've met them before. You know them as Kai, and they say,
Ms. Gingle Possum, I have some news for you.
Yes, of course. Let me just grab something to write with. And I, of course, grab the smallest instrument that I can find, which is a mini golf pencil.
You grab like a mini golf pencil, start taking down notes. You hear a banging on the wall of your room, like your little stall in the caravan. And you hear someone go,
"Oi, I'm trying to sleep."
The sun is up. You should be too.
Oh, that's so bad. No, I don't have to be up. Can you take your call somewhere else, please?
Okay, I guess I mean, it's not a mobile speaking plant, is it?
I mean, you can pick up the pot that it's in and carry it outside.
I'll do kind of one of those, I use my entire body to hold everything against me, and then I flutter out through the window.
Yeah, you flutter out, land by a little bit of bush and like rock outcropping.
Miss Gingle Possum, are you still there?
Yes, I'm here. Continue.
Why don't I get to the news? Would that be okay with you, Miss Gingle Possum?
As long as it's good.
Perhaps then we should take this call a different time.
Oh, goodness. Okay, yes, I'm listening.
Well, unfortunately, according to our records, you've not found a client yet. Is this correct?
Well, it depends on a definition of a client. I have certainly met a lot of people.
And you have signed them to be represented by you, a talent agent?
Not officially yet. However, is it more important to foster talent than, you know, to have binding legal paperwork?
That's a very beautiful philosophy, Miss Gingle Possum, but that actually doesn't quite matter for the point of this call.
Yes, no, I'm sure you're correct.
Yes, well, it's been some time since you completed your basic agent training, and unfortunately, you
Ah, yes, my time at BAT.
Yes, your time at BAT, it's
Unfortunately, the allotted post-training time is almost up. And unfortunately, if you do not find a client by the end of the week, you will have to go back to basic agent training, which, as you know, is a 5-year program.
The end of the week? Why didn't I receive any preliminary notices?
Unfortunately, our contract negotiations require a 1-week notice. Any earlier is actually a breach in guild contract.
Well, I guess we have to get to work. Nothing else to do.
Yes, you do.
Oh, goodness. Okay, well, thank you so much for giving me a call. I really appreciate it. I will surely get a client by the end of the week.
Do you think this person's in need of representation?
Kai, if I may.
Yes.
Perchance.
Yes.
Are you in need of representation? Because I know someone.
I actually just was offered representation this morning by the person I called before you. I'm so very sorry.
Of course. You can you have such a great speaking plant voice. I knew you'd get snatched up right away.
Thank you. I've been thinking of starting a Vinecast.
Oh, bad. Cursed.
Awful. So bad.
Nosebleeds.
Everyone's nosebleeds.
Everyone gets a nosebleed.
Well, Ms. Gingle Possum, I hope you have a wonderful day and best of luck finding a client.
Thank you. I will. And I guess I take my mini golf pencil and I get to work making lists of every person I've ever met.
Yeah, you create these like lists, and it takes you a little bit, like basically running up and down the paper, like flying mm-hmm. over the piece of paper you have, like writing. And by the time you finish writing, the sun has pretty much come up, and you can probably hop back on the caravan.
Do I know my neighbor's name?
Yeah, your neighbor's name was Vinley.
Okay, well, I go and I tap with my
so as
pencil.
You fly up from the bushes that you were like taking the call in, the caravan is not there.
Oh, been there.
Hello?
You were so engrossed in taking these notes of everybody you've ever met that you didn't notice the caravan picking up and leaving.
Oh, gosh.
And kids, that's what happens when you let your work consume you.
Don't turn my plight into a life lesson.
And we will cut from there over to Lenroll, who's making his way up the river. And you've been chatting with this talking bird for a little bit. His name is Jez. And he's, like, chill.
He does seem like a very chill. As far as birds go, seems like a very chill bird.
Yeah.
So what's your story, Jez?
One day I woke up and I could talk and it was pretty sick, but I was like, yeah, let me go see the world. Just like kind of wanderlust, you know?
Oh, yeah. I can relate to that.
Have you been traveling long?
Yeah, for a bit. It's been pretty good. I've been seeing a lot of the world. I have always been able to talk, so that wasn't a new revelation to me. Can't relate on that front. Well, actually, I guess I haven't always been able to talk.
Right, like baby time, right?
No, when I was 27, for a few days, I had a spell cast on me that like my mouth was just wiped clean off my face.
Oh, scary.
It didn't, it didn't hurt. I could still breathe. It was fine. Just couldn't talk.
Okay.
Couldn't talk for a few days until we could get that sorted out. I can definitely relate on that front, not being able to talk. But yeah, the traveling thing has been good. I have been, seeing Grevlon, meeting a lot of people. Like to keep on the move. I like to keep moving. You know, I feel like you stay in one place for so long. I just start thinking about all the other places out there and, what else I could be seeing.
Yeah.
But, unfortunately, I have not had the best luck with choosing my traveling companions. And, I don't know, traveling alone, it doesn't hit the same.
Yeah, I feel that. I prefer flying in a big V with some other birds, you know, but sometimes you just gotta flit around alone, but it's lonely.
Yeah. But then you gotta choose between loneliness or having all of your stuff stolen. Sometimes you gotta pick loneliness.
Lenril, you hear the bushes around you begin to rustle a little bit.
I do a quick look at the sun, get my bearings to see if I've stumbled into the rustling forest, which is a little, not so much a forest, more of a woods. It's a little woods where all of the leaves rustle on their own volition. Just, am I there? Am I in that?
You look around. Nope, you are not there.
Yeah, it's actually very far away from where I am. I was just more, yeah, it was more wishful
it's
thinking
across
than anything.
The continent, basically.
Yeah. Okay, I'm gonna say, hello, bush? Is that a bush or someone in the bush?
You see a person stands up from inside the bush and they have a bow drawn on you.
Oh, hello, friend. I'm gonna put my hands up, holding my staff in one hand. Good morning.
Good morning. I think it'll be pretty conducive to our days continuing on well if you were just to lay all your belongings out in front of you and move along.
Man, I've had a bad morning. I don't have much stuff left. I've already... You're not the first person to do this to me today, let me tell you. I don't have much left. I don't think I'll have anything.
Wait, you've been robbed today?
I woke up this morning, whole tent cut clean around me.
You hear a couple more people pop up from bushes around you, all of them like bows drawn. But I think we're going to have
jealous.
A bit of a roll.
Wish I had friends to travel with like you apparently do. Must be nice. A little roll?
Yeah, it sounds like you're trying to convince them not to rob you.
Yeah.
So the way that our game works is that I'm going to set a difficulty for this character by creating a pool of multiple dice based on the difficulty of this challenge. Then our players will assemble a dice pool of their own and attempt to beat the challenge as effectively as possible. So this is a group of ruffians, as it were, and they have the upper hand. So they're kind of like secure in the knowledge that they could probably take your things if they wanted to. So that we're going to call that a like somewhat difficult task to overcome, 2d6. However, you're also looking pretty upset about losing all your things earlier. So they're going to add only one extra d4 to this roll. And so that difficulty for you is going to be a 9.
All right. So I'm going to use, I have three distinctions. I'm going to use my distinction called everyone's neighbor because I'm just trying to kind of have a neighborly sort of attitude, just trying to be friendly to these people. I've met a lot of people, so I know how to talk to a lot of different people. I'm going to use my charm attribute, which is a d6, and my survive skill, which is a d6. And the distinction is a d8. So I am rolling 2d6 and a d8. And I'm trying to beat a 9?
9.
All right. The dice gave me a really easy way to do the math, and it still took me a second. I rolled a 6 on the d6, and then I rolled 2 3s. And I still stared at them for a very long time, trying to figure out which I should go with. So, all right. So I am going to, so that's a 9 with a d6 effect die.
All right, so this is somewhat effective, and you see this ruffian who now like pulls down like the bandana that they had over their nose and mouth, revealing like a really like well kept handlebar mustache and like a little like sharp goatee, like just like real like gentleman looks.
Lenril's jealous. He can't.
Oh, no,
he can't
grow
facial hair.
Oh,
he man. Did once. There are actually a few times there's been potions, but they don't last.
Yeah. You see, he sheathes his bow and goes, "All right, I'm so sorry, mate. That's that real. Oh man, that's a bad look for us, honestly."
Oh no, it's fine. You don't have to worry about it. It's not your fault. You didn't know.
Yeah, no, that's totally fair. You know, I'm. You know what? We're just gonna let you go about your day.
Do any of you have any bread and or butter on you? I didn't. My breakfast was also stolen. I'm a little hungry.
Oh yeah, we got really like nice like crusty bread with like loads of like garlic butter on it. Is that good for you?
That'd be great.
Yeah, great. Hey, Livin. He calls over what looks to be like same like kind of like leather vest bandana over the face, but like a chef's hat. Brings over like a little like takeaway box with like gorgeous like fresh warm like fluffy bread with like a really like a garlic compound butter on it.
It's just like a Whole Foods hot bar box.
Exactly. All right, yeah, so sorry about that. Juan, you know what? Just go on. We'll leave you be.
Oh, thank you so much. You guys are so nice.
Yeah,
thank
no,
you so
I mean,
much. Hey, listen, what's your name, man? I'm Lenroll.
I love making Thomas come up with names on the fly.
Hold on.
I love it.
Yeah, my name's Gabriel.
FantasyNameGenerator.com. This episode's not sponsored.
I literally typed it like closed my eyes, typed some letters on my keyboard, opened them up, and pronounced the first thing I saw.
That looks like a really nice cheese name.
Yeah, Gabriel.
Ooh, a nice creamy Gabriel.
Gabriel
sounds like some Italian, like New York Italian would go Gabriel.
My parents are cheesemongers, and so they named a cheese after me. I hear it's picking up popularity. Honestly, I probably don't have to go about like doing ruffian things. I could probably just like kind of retire on the name rights alone.
No, but you know, you have to even. It's important to follow your passions. You know, even if you have other routes you can take, it's important to do what makes you happy.
Yeah, I'm following my passions.
Talia just messaged Nepo Baby. I just needed everyone to know that.
You know what? Go on your way. You're fine. Have a good day. Sorry about that before.
Hey, don't water under the bridge. Don't worry about it. You all take care. Travel safe.
Thank you.
I'll like take off a bit of the bread and hand it off to my buddy Jez.
Yeah, Jez takes the crumb of bread and like gulps it down. That was a sticky situation.
Yeah, I noticed that you kind of just stood by again, Jez.
Yeah, I mean,
really,
you know,
hard
to say that I can do anything useful in that kind of a situation. I'm just a little guy.
I think you undersell yourself, Jez. I think you undersell yourself. And I think that maybe sometimes you hide behind that as an excuse. Maybe that's something you should look into.
Jez, like, takes a beat. Huh.
Yeah, yeah.
I gotta think about that. Jez takes off, flying away.
Oh, and there goes my last friend.
Oh, no.
So
oh,
brutal. No. So brutal.
I drove him away by setting boundaries. And kids, that's why you should never question your friends or confront their negative behaviors that impact you in a negative way. Never, never do that.
So true.
And now we're going to cut over to Patarak. You see that Subi has created basically an itemized itinerary of locations you need to get to, people you need to speak to, mapping you need to get done, all within the span of 6 months.
Patarak looks at this list and, like, he knows, like we said, it's going to take 8 months. So he's trying to figure out the best way to get through all of these locations and starts to, like, look at the map and figure out an optimized route, if you will, which I think him and Subi already did.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. So he just looks at the list and goes, and if I do this, I keep my job?
Yes, of course. You are under a union contract, are you not?
That I am. Love the Apprentice Guild. Thank God for the Apprentice Guild.
Yes, it is a very wonderful institution.
Can I ask you something, Subi?
You may.
How long do I have to be an apprentice before I can become a full cartographer?
Is that your goal?
Yeah.
Then you made a very big mistake along the way, Paterak.
What did I do?
The route to become a full-time cartographer's assistant is very, very different from becoming an cartographer itself.
Surely that can't be right. You may have just taken a different route than I did.
No. Let me, hold on. Give me a second. You see she rummages in her bags and pulls out a book called The History of Our Cartography and hands
she
it
just
to you.
Had that. She's had that on hand.
Huh? She always has. This is her favorite book. She reads it front to back about every month. And she hands it to you. I have another copy at home. You can hold on to that one. Just take a little skim through. See how many art cartographers there started off as assistants. Assistants. Assistant to our cartographer.
I'm right here.
Oh, yes. I'm so sorry. That was perhaps a little rude. But no, Paterak, if you are an assistant art cartographer, you will never become an art cartographer.
I don't think that's true. I think, once again, the guild will help me out. I'll figure it out. And Paterak, like, starts to pack up his stuff. He's like, I should really get going.
All right, Paterak. But, you know, just skim through the book. You'll see that, as usual, I am right.
Paterak looks at Subi and goes, mm-hmm. Okay, ma'am. And then starts to leave, fully sweating, and, like, has... is convincing himself that she is not telling him the truth, because if he has spent so long just becoming an assistant, he's going to have a full breakdown. And then he... I think Paterak just starts walking to the next city he needs to go to. He's like, yep. He starts like humming himself a little song that he used to while he was a wrangler, and then just like keeps himself calm and walks and walks and walks.
Yeah, give
us a little sample.
Yeah,
give me a beat.
yeah, totally. Yeah, take your time.
Yeah, take some time.
Everyone who says "give me a beat," I always want to start beatboxing immediately.
And you should. And you should. And I don't
every
know why
single
you
time.
Haven't been
every single time.
Every single time.
Paterak. You head out on the road. You go to the caravan that you've been like riding with to like pick up your.
I wanted to hear this.
Wait, hold on. Oh, go ahead.
We're gonna get to that, but first, you turn to head to the caravan where you had left a lot of your like clothing. You left a trunk there because you were traveling with a caravan. Caravan's gone.
God, today couldn't get any worse. Okay.
One of the town's watch people goes, "Sir, you interrupted a turtle crossing. That's going to be a fine here," and starts to write you a little ticket.
Paterak starts humming again. He goes, "Go get the little hydras. Go get the big hydras. They won't kill you if you go in a group." Go, and then keeps just repeating that to himself because he's like that helped calm him down while he was the Hydra rank. I was in the Hydra angling group, and like he pays off his ticket and then just goes and starts walking in the direction he knew the caravan was going, because he knows they move slowly, so he might just be able to grab his stuff if he runs into them.
Yep. We will cut from there over to Ash. Ash, you have just noticed that the caravan has left you in the dust. Oh, goodness.
And that was the sound of the caravan leaving.
The sound of
sorry.
Bonk.
I know I said I found a perfect angle, but then I keep readjusting the way I sit. So.
But yeah, you see that the caravan has gone... and you're left behind.
Oh no. I don't do well on my own.
Most of your belongings were on that caravan as well.
Oh, goodness. Okay, well, I have a pencil, so and that's mightier than a sword. So I have everything I need to succeed in this life.
Does she still have her roly-poly decks?
Oh yeah, of course. She carries that with her all the time.
I don't leave home without it.
You start to like flutter down the road trying to...
Yeah, can I try to maybe find someone? See any movement in the distance?
Yeah, you're gonna look out for a movement. Why don't you give me another roll?
Happy to.
It is somewhat bright and sunny, so let's call that a D8 against you, and we'll roll the other as 2D6.
Great.
So
you're fighting the sun.
You're fighting the sun.
You're trying to beat
a difficulty of 8.
Great. I will do a D8 of notice. I believe a D8 of agility makes sense as I'm trying to maybe speed my way as fast as I can. And then I think See the Silver Lining might help. But I'm going to hinder myself with See the Silver Lining. I think she's maybe struggling to see that at the moment.
Totally.
Oh, okay. Okay. So that is a total of 9 with a D8. Effect die.
Oh, wonderful. Yeah, as you're looking out, trying to like follow, trying to find someone, you come upon a figure who's just walking along the river, seemingly towards where you are coming from, and seems to be walking with like a large walking stick with a weird like head on it and like a backpack.
Excuse me, hello?
Cataract.
Excuse me.
Definitely.
Lenril, you hear a little voice calling out to you.
Excuse me, friend. Hello.
I think Jez is back. So yeah. I'm like, hey, man, I'm so sorry. I shouldn't have forced you to confront anything about yourself. That was my bad. I crossed a line.
I think you might be mistaking me for someone. Up here. I'm up here.
Oh, hey.
Hello.
And Lenril, you see this small fairy. And you both recognize each other from Ash's attempts about 2 months ago to sign Lenril as a client.
We've met.
Lenril, of course. I never forget a face or a name unless it doesn't hit me immediately. Yes, my name is Ash.
Yeah, Ash, right? I remember you.
Yes, Ashalinia Mirror Gingle Possum 2 G's, 2 P's, 2 S's, 2 M's. But you can, as you did, call me Ash. How have you been?
I did not remember all of that, but it's okay. I have a long name too. That's not, you don't need to remember. Yeah, I'm all right. I've been better. How are you? How are you?
Oh, you know, just about to come across a deadline that might negate half a decade's worth of work. Never better, never better.
Are you traveling alone? I thought when we met last time, you were with a caravan, I think.
Yes, that was the case at one point. However, I have seen to be abandoned by my traveling group, and I'm trying to find my way. Have you seen a large caravan pass through?
Can I tell you, not only have I not seen a large caravan pass through, but I've also haven't seen my traveling companions who also not only abandoned me this morning, but stole all my stuff.
Goodness, there must be something in the water.
You both hear the sound of someone who's humming, trying to hum under their breath, but is not humming under their breath and is humming very loud.
Lenril again thinks that Jez might be back. And so he goes around looking again. He's looking at the sky again.
And Lenril, you bump into someone you've not seen in a while. Your old roommate from Wessel's Trade School, Patarak.
Oh, I'm so sorry.
Lenril!
Patarak!
How are you doing?
Ash! Hey, man!
Ash! Ash! Hi!
Hi! Ash!
Ash, Alinea, Mira, Gingle, Fossum, 2 G's, 2 P's, 2 S's, 2 M's. Pleasure.
It's wonderful to meet you.
Yeah, Ash, Patarak, Ash. This is so wild, man. What are you doing out here?
I would love to stay and chat, but I actually have to, I'm on a strict schedule. I cannot stop walking. Do you want to walk with me?
You guys? Yeah. Where are you going? Doesn't matter. I'll go anywhere.
My boss told me if I don't complete a route that usually takes 8 months and 6 months, I will get fired. So I'm just moving and moving and moving.
On foot?
On foot. I don't have
Well, it'd be much easier if you had wings. Have you considered?
I have tried to grow them before. When I was young, I focused really hard, but they didn't come out.
Yeah, we all had the wing phase where we thought if we focused really hard. I think Padarek is also has continued walking and is calling over his shoulder as he's
yelling from a half 200 feet away.
Yeah, Lenril starts power walking to catch up.
Lenril, you also see Ash is just carrying a big potted speaking plant with her.
And a pencil.
Which
do you want me to grab that for you?
Oh, that would be so good. You see, my arms don't have the carrying capacity they used to when I would hold so many children at once.
You're a mother?
No, a sister. But these days, who's to say the difference? So, Padarek, what do you do?
And from there, we flash forward to months later, as Lenril finds himself, as he's found himself once before in the recent past, stuck in a plant. Just his, shoulders, arms, and head are outside of the plant. Padarek and Ash, you are doing whatever you can to try to pull him out, but nothing's working right now.
I'm telling you, just cut it open.
I don't want to kill the plant. This is an endangered species.
How did we get into this, truly? I'm thinking back, and I can't even remember how we found ourselves in this predicament.
Flashback to 30 seconds ago, Lenril wasn't watching where he was looking and he fell into the plant.
Not again!
Cut back to now.
Oh, goodness. maybe true love's kiss. Len, try to kiss the plant.
I'm not gonna kiss the plant.
Lenril, it might work. Try kissing
the
plant.
It might work.
There's a long silence.
It didn't work.
Well, did you believe that you loved it?
I'm having a hard time loving the thing that is currently trying to eat me.
Okay, maybe we can tickle the plant.
That's a good idea.
Right? Or make it sneeze.
Yeah, Lenril, try tickling the plant from inside and we'll tickle it from the outside.
Ash tries to look for dust.
Okay, yeah, Ash, you find a handful of dust and dirt.
Great.
Yeah, Padarek will tickle the plant at the edges of the mouth to try to open it up.
Ash wants to sprinkle dust all over.
Padarek gets Lenril's leg a little bit, and he goes,
"Oh, wait, you got my leg."
He starts laughing.
I didn't know you were this ticklish. I barely touched you.
Specifically on my legs. My legs are very ticklish.
Padarek, do you have your lasso?
Oh, yeah, I do.
Remember when I first signed you and you were like, oh, I used to be a Hydra Wrangler.
Oh, try to Hydra Wrangle Len out of there.
Out of this plant. Yes.
Okay. Len, this might tickle.
And I know you can do this.
Padarek, you lasso around Len's legs, and we're going to do a roll. This is a strong, a strongish plant, so that's going to be 2d6. And let's add one additional d6, because you're trying not to harm Lenril's legs as you pull.
Or the that's plant.
Or the plant. So that's going to be a difficulty of 10.
Okay.
As Padarek begins to pull, Ash is going to attempt to help him. How are you helping Padarek?
I would like to spend a plot point to really provide a lot of verbal support from the sidelines. I think Padarek sometimes tends to be down on himself, and Ash is so peppy that it neutralizes that completely.
All right, Ash, go ahead and give me a quick roll.
Ash uses words of affirmation.
Yes.
Yeah, that's going to be a difficulty of 6. So if you want to go ahead and just give me a quick roll and spend that plot point.
I'm going to do the distinction of see the silver lining, which gives me a D8 for that. A D8 for influence.
Mm-hmm.
Plus a D8 for charm. Actually, mm-hmm. a D8 for heart. I think heart makes a lot more sense. That is a 13 with a D8 effect die.
Beautiful. You speak these words of encouragement to Padarak. And Padarak, you can go ahead and add an extra D8 to this roll.
Amazing. Thank you, Ash.
You Great. Can so, do it. I believe in you.
The power of being represented.
I know. It's wonderful. So Padarak is going to take his distinction calloused right hand, but he's going to hinder it because he's currently in charge of the situation. So he'll take a plot point and roll a d4. He'll use his attribute brawn and his move skill along with his lasso signature asset, as well as the additional d8 that he got from Ash. He did roll. Oh no. He rolled three hitches.
Oh no. Oh.
Have we said a hitch is a one? Have we said what a hitch is? A hitch is a one.
Yeah. A
hitch is bad.
A hitch is a one on any of the dice that
if
are.
If you don't rolled. Understand, go listen to the episode that you're not supposed to listen to.
Yeah,
it's not that you're not supposed to listen to it. Please go listen to it if you want to. You can
if you don't
want to
listen
to
it. You don't have to.
It's not mandatory. You are allowed to though.
Yep. So that's a 7 all told with 3 hitches.
Oh no! So this is going to be a complication for Padarak, which means that I get to roll extra dice against him if that comes into play. I'm going to give him an additional plot point. Padarak,
do I accidentally kick him?
Yes, Lenril, you kick Padarak, and Padarak, that like forces you to like stumble, and the plant like slurps in Lenril's legs further, and then slurps via the lasso. You get slurped into the plant's mouth as well.
Oh no!
You have a being digested complication, which is going to be a D10 complication.
Oh no!
Oh goodness! Oh no!
Padarak turns to Lenro and goes, "Sorry."
Yeah, can we see each other now?
Yeah, you guys can see each other in the plant.
Hey, that's okay, man. It happens. You tried your best, and I appreciate that.
Yeah.
Oh god. Ash is just flying around. Okay. Brawn didn't work. Tickling didn't work. Dust didn't work. I can try one more thing. Plant, you let my friends go.
You tell them.
You're attempting to command this plant?
But with fairy magic.
Beautiful. You use the power of the fairies to try to enchant this plant. We're going to call this a 2d6 difficulty with an additional d8 because this is a plant that likes to eat things. That's going to be a 10 difficulty, but I actually rolled a hitch, which means that if Padarak would like to, he could spend a plot point to reduce his d10 complication.
Okay, great. So yeah, I'll spend one to reduce it to a d8.
Beautiful. Ash, go ahead and try to beat a difficulty 10.
Okay, I'm going to use my connection seeker distinction. I think I'm trying to connect with this folk-eating plant. I do think that is another D8 charm and additionally a D8 influence. I think that makes the most sense, plus a D6 mm-hmm. fairy magic specialty.
Beautiful.
Ooh.
So that is 3 D8s and a D6. That's a 9.
No.
This is the first episode.
This is the first episode. With a D8.
Do you have a plot point? Can you add?
I used my plot point to help you.
Ash.
Get in here, Ash.
Ash, you start to talk to this plant. You see it's starting to relax a little bit, and then you get just a little bit too close, and a vine whips out and pulls you into the plant's mouth.
That's not what I wanted.
You three are now together in the plant's mouth.
Hi, Ash.
Welcome to the plant.
Well, at least, like, the plant must be full. You know, it's not like he's going to be eating anything else.
But it's eating us.
Sure, but at least he's not eating anything else.
You're. I guess you're right. It's a very positive outlook on this. We
have saved the civilians of this town from being consumed.
Yeah, I'm gonna, can I extend my hammer staff to just try to rip through this plant?
Yeah, I think for that you don't even need to roll. You prop up your hammer, and just, it, like, bursts, like, through, the like, end bursts through, like, one part of the plant mouth. The hammerhead, like, pushes against it, and you just, like, pry open the plant mouth. And just pull yourself out.
All right, everyone out. Watch your step. A lot of plant goo around.
You were right, Lenroll. We should have just killed the plant.
You know, I'm glad we explored other options. And hey, we can. I've asked my sister about this before, and she advised that maybe we can collect some bits of the plant and see if someone can propagate it, you know, keep it going so it's not just a loss.
Oh, that's a good idea.
I love recycling.
Lenro's looking for like a full piece of plant. There's just kind of like little gooey bits everywhere. He's looking for a good poking around with his staff.
You find a bit of like root that you can like carry around in like a little thing of dirt. As you collect this bit of the plant, you three continue to make your way down the road towards adventures ahead of you. And that's where we're going to end today.
Woohoo!
This episode of Tales from Grevlon is dedicated to the memory of Daniel Zaworski, a man with the kindest heart, keenest mind, and the greatest powers of storytelling. Daniel was a dear and incredible friend and dungeon master, and he truly knew how to connect with everyone he met. I, and so many others, would not be the storytellers we are today without him. He will be missed.
Thank you for listening to Tales from Grevlon. Ash is played by Talia Shotsky, Lenroll is played by Katie Siegel, Paderak is played by Sam Kitzial, with Thomas Flons as our tailkeeper, and I'm Nicole. Hi! If you enjoy the show and want to help it grow, please take a minute and leave a kind review on the Apple Podcasts app. If you do, Thomas won't steal your bread and butter. For more Tales from Grevlon, check out @DearlessFira on TikTok, Instagram, and Twitter. You can also join the Chattering Grove Discord. The link to that is in the description. Or don't. Live your life. Bye!